When it comes to the lean executive recruiting landscape, staying ahead means staying informed. Subscribing to the Stiles Associates email list gives you access to the latest compensation data, industry analysis, and career resources straight from their recruiting team. Plus, you'll receive hand-picked career opportunities from leading companies, whether you're seeking new challenges or just curious about the market. So head over to leanexecs.com and sign up to get on the Stiles Associates email list and transform the way you make strategic decisions for your company and your career. Thanks for listening. Did you know I can help your organization on this journey of cultivating a culture of learning and innovation? I can be a trainer, coach, and advisor on topics including psychological safety, problem solving, and continuous improvement. I can add value to your management team meetings by speaking and facilitating discussions on these important topics. To learn more, visit markgraben.com or email me, mark@markgraben.com. Let's improve together.
Welcome to the Lean Blog Podcast. Visit our website at www.leanblog.org. Now, here's your host, Mark Graben.
Hi, this is Mark Graben, episode number 92 of the Lean Blog Podcast for June 3rd, 2010. Brings a returning guest, Mike Micklewright. He is the author of two new books, and the one we're going to talk about today is called Out of Another Crisis, or alternatively, Out of Another Bleeping Crisis. And not that there's a curse word on the cover, but it's got those cartoon kind of symbols that kind of imply some sort of swear word. We're going to talk about that. If you want to hear the previous episode with Mike, you can go to leanblog.org/43. If you want to listen to any of the old episodes, you can go to leanpodcast.org. And if you're feeling lucky, a la the Google search page, and you want a random podcast, you can enter leanblog.org/n, where n equals a number between 1 and 92. And if you do hit leanblog.org/92, you'll end up right back here at this podcast. But it's a good way of finding a random old podcast. I hope you enjoy listening. Mike is always thought-provoking and entertaining, but with a serious message about quality improvement. So as always, I hope you enjoy the podcast, and thanks for listening. Well, I want to welcome back returning guest Mike Micklewright. Thanks for coming back on the podcast.
Thank you, Mark.
You were a very popular guest when you were on before, talking about Dr. Deming and giving us a brief glimpse of your Dr. Deming voice and impersonation. So it's great to have you back, and I was excited that you have not one but two books coming out right now, and wanted to talk to you about your new book, Revisiting Dr. Deming. So tell us about the title. It's an interesting title and subtitle, and some of the motivation behind the book.
Okay. And thanks for having me back on. I appreciate that. The title is Out of Another Crisis. It's a follow-up to Dr. Deming's Out of the Crisis, written back in 1982. And I guess there's a couple reasons why I wanted to write a follow-up book. The first one is that in the original book, Dr. Deming said it would take between 10 and 30 years to completely transform Western management styles. And here we are at 28 years after he mentioned that in his book, and I thought, okay, well, it's time to go back and revisit and see how we've done. Have we listened to him, or have we completely ignored his message and reverted back to our old ways? And so that was one of the main reasons that I wanted to focus in on that. And then I played around with a subtitle and had different thoughts on the subtitle, went at different angles. The subtitle is called Motivation Through Humiliation, which is kind of strange. It sounds strange, but for those people who do read some of my writings, they'll understand why. Sometimes I say things tongue-in-cheek, but just to get the people to think. And the idea behind this was, you know, there's so many CEOs that we have out there and top managers out there who do promote performance appraisal systems. And as a lot of Demingites know, Dr. Deming was completely against performance appraisal systems, and with good reason. But you know, you got to kind of understand, well, why does a CEO like a performance appraisal system? Why are they such big advocates of performance appraisals? And a lot of it is just because, well, they've done well in that system. I mean, obviously, they've moved up through the system, and they've always done well. And they've left a lot of other people at the curbside. So, of course, they like that type of system, and it builds in the competition and so forth within an organization. And so they kind of stick to that. And the idea that I thought was, okay, well, here we are just coming out of a worldwide recession. You know, maybe it's time to evaluate CEO performance as a whole. Let's look at CEO performance when we compare how they've done, especially through the recession and the years leading up to the recession, how they've done when compared to Deming's 14 points or his 14 principles. And the idea is it kind of gives them a little bit of a taste of their own medicine in a way by grading their performance as if that's supposed to motivate them. And what it's really trying to show is that, you know, when you grade people in their performance, which is not real fair, it's not a motivator. And that's exactly what they're doing with so many workers out there, is that we are not motivating people by humiliating them with grades in a system that's in which you cannot really single out one person's performance. So what I do is I go through one of the chapters in the book, and I go through each of the 14 points and provide a number of different little stories here and there, and then give them an overall grade for one of those points.
Right, and you're not a grade inflation professor. You know, reading through the book, the executives don't grade out very well. In fact, I mean, they're flunking out of Dr. Deming's University of Life, I guess, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. And you know, I could pick to any one of those points. And yes, there's I never really went through and counted up the number of F's and D's and so forth. But there's probably out of the 14 points, there's probably 9 or 10 F's that I hand out. One is for point number four. You know, and point number four is where Dr. Deming strongly suggested that we end the practice of awarding business on the basis of price tag. Clearly, we do this today more than we did back in 1982, as more and more of our products and processes have been outsourced and offshored overseas. And oftentimes, just because one person might look at price tag alone and not consider all of the other costs associated with what's going on. I think it's kind of interesting that it was a couple of weeks ago that the Wall Street Journal came out with an article, and of course we have another new term out there, and that's onshoring or reshoring. Have you heard that?
I've heard onshoring. I didn't know reshoring.
But. Yeah, they use both of them in the same article, onshoring and reshoring, and the idea, of course, is to bring back some of the manufacturing that we did once offshore to perhaps say China or India or wherever. And of course they say, you know, that the reasons are is because you know, excessive transportation costs and quality problems and those types of things, in a way that does sound admirable, that if that's truly the reason for bringing it back. But at the same time, the article refers to it seems like the real reason is the value of the dollar. So it probably has nothing to do with quality, once again, and looking at total cost, but it probably has to do with the same old thing where we're still awarding business mm-hmm. based on price tag alone.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess the game is set up where they're saving money both when it was offshored and they're saving money when they bring it back. So they
exactly.
would give themselves an A, undoubtedly. But yeah, there are a lot of Fs, a lot of Ds. I'm flipping through it just now. There's one C. But It seems to be the case that in some of these dimensions, you said Dr. Deming said it would take 10 to 30 years to progress forward, but in a lot of cases, we're moving backwards, even, it seems, right?
Oh, absolutely, and that's exactly why there were so many poor grades. And then, of course, someone might say, well, yeah, but Mike, what makes you an expert at grading CEOs as a whole? And that is a point. That's one of the points that I'm making. I am not, perhaps, the expert who should grade CEOs as a whole. nor is a boss a person who should be able to grade his or her employee, or for that matter, a teacher to grade a student working in a system that's standardized for the masses rather than for individuals. So yes, I may not be any more qualified than you or some other person out there, but that's an important point. We are not, all of us, are not qualified to evaluate the performance of other people, especially when we're working in a system that's faulty.
Yeah. And, you know, there's, from the subtitle, and I think that was the first question I emailed you. I'm like, Mike, what's with the subtitle? And you do explain it in the introduction to the book, that yes, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek attention grabber, as is the title itself. If you're looking at the book, I wasn't sure if you're supposed to pronounce this out of another bleeping crisis, because you've got the funny, you know, the comic strip punctuation symbols representing swearing. So, you know, it's not an angry book. It's certainly it's a serious topic book. It's a book that made me chuckle, and it's funny at times. So I appreciate the way that. That tone that you took with it. So one other question I wanted to ask you, not only revisiting Dr. Deming's teachings, but, you know, you've got a chapter in here of kind of putting on, trying to think through what Dr. Deming would think of today's modern quality movement. And, you know, the thing that struck me, you know, I've seen you right before about, you know, wanting to give away your black belt, and there's a section in there where you're pretty critical, where you're saying Dr. Deming would be pretty critical of Six Sigma. So I was wondering if you could touch on some of that a little bit, what some of the faults are
sure.
with that approach.
Yeah, and, you know, let me start off by saying what Dr. Deming would also say is that what we're losing focus in on is that we're not focusing in on the principles that he talked about. We're doing the same old thing that we always do, and we're focusing in on tools. And Six Sigma is a huge bag of tools. And I do like some of the tools. I mean, that's where my career started. I mean, I would teach people, and I'm a big believer in doing design of experiments and failure mode and effects analysis and SPC and so forth. So we get this huge bag of tools. But the problem is, and one of the main reasons Dr. Deming would be critical of Six Sigma, is just the fact that that's our only focus. We're not focusing in on changing Western management styles. We're not focusing in on changing leadership. We're focusing in on the same old stuff, just a repackaging. So that's from, like, the bigger picture point of view. But, you know, from the detailed point of view, there'd be a number of things that that he would have a problem with, and I have a problem with myself. And one of which is just that it's, I say in the book that it's an elitist system, and I actually borrowed that term from Dr. Tony Burns, but I like that term that he referred to it as. It's an elitist system in which you have yellow belts and green belts and black belts, and these are the people, these are the experts who are working on problem solving in other areas, in other people's areas. Well, that goes against Dr. Deming's point about trying to get, making sure that the transformation is every person's job. It's everybody's job. And that also falls in the face or goes against what Lean tries to preach to us, and that we are working on continuous improvement, which is improvement made by everybody every single day, not just people with a belt. And so it's not the individual tools of Six Sigma that I'm critical of, even though I am critical of some of those, but it's the whole management system, once again, where we're losing focus. The other thing that you see is that you see, just a bunch of. Oftentimes, you see companies who are going down the Six Sigma route. They develop objectives, and some of those objectives would be train X number of black belts.
Right. Well, that's a quota.
It's a quota. Do X number of projects. Save X number of dollars per project, and that's the way a lot of these Six Sigma programs are being run. And so, yes, then you have this champion who goes ahead and trains 100 black belts or 800 black belts or whatever, no matter if they're going to use it or not. So we're training a whole bunch of people just to meet this quota, just to meet this number. So the Six Sigma management itself flies in the face of Dr. Deming's point that we should not be running our businesses based on meeting departmental objectives and or quotas. you know, there's so many things. There's so many parts. Six Sigma is based on 3.4 defects per million opportunities. Well, you know, what's the best way, what's the easiest way, I should say, of getting to 3.4 defects per million opportunities? Well, the easiest way is to open up tolerances.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't, of course, improve quality. It's another
right.
bogey. It's nothing. It's something that we're shooting for. It doesn't really focus in on reduction of variation, and which is what we should be doing. That's where the focus should be. The other thing is that you can also achieve 3.4 defects per million opportunities by increasing the number of opportunities that you count. Again, what we're doing there is we're just playing with numbers. So, yes, there's just a ton of flaws. And then also, I think, you know, I look at Six Sigma also from the standpoint of waste, perhaps waste in training. I've talked to so many different black belts over the years, and when you talk to them, it's always a good question to ask, okay, all the training that you had, what percentage of what you learned do you actually use?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes you hear a figure like around 5%. So 5% of everything that they learned, they use. Well, that seems to be very wasteful.
Yeah.
And then you also look at how many black belts were trained and how many are actually actively pursuing it. See, the other part of the whole system is that what becomes important is the belt. So a belt mm-hmm. is no different than a certificate or a grade in school or a reward of some sort. And so what you end up seeing is people looking to pad their resumes, mm-hmm. looking to get that belt, and that becomes the focus. It's not the education. It's not the knowledge. And that's what's so wrong. It's this another extrinsic motivator that has completely motivated so many people to become a black belt or a green belt just so that they can move on to the next job and get higher pay.
Yeah. And even though, I want to touch on lean a little bit because you know, I'm sure modern lean practices wouldn't go unscathed in a review by Dr. Deming. That, as you point out in the book, so many of the management mindsets and philosophy in what we would consider lean management, you know, certainly comes from Dr. Deming and is aligned with Dr. Deming. But the way people, you know, in a lot of cases, use lean tools or methods, it's fair to say falls into some of the same traps that you described with Six Sigma.
Yeah, it's a whole lot different. I mean, I look at that as a different animal altogether. In fact, what I in one part of the book, I compare the book, Dr. Jeffrey Leiker's book called The Toyota Way, in which he also has 14 principles behind the Toyota production system. You know, the 14 principles, it's just a coincidence that it happens to be the number 14, just like Deming's points. But I go through the book and I compare the two and I show how the two are aligned. So what I do believe and what I've seen is that the Deming principles and lean principles are very, very much aligned and they're very much in sync. And of course we do know that Deming had a huge influence on Toyota. So that does make sense. So when you compare their principles, they do look different, but in essence, they're very compatible. They're very much aligned. So it has nothing to do with how lean is supposed to be, but it does have to do with what you said. The word you said was practices, lean practices. And so the lean practices that I actually see and how they're in how lean is actually being pursued at so many companies is not aligned with what Dr. Deming would have wanted us to do and what he was pursuing. I mean, you know, Deming talked a lot about waste elimination. He talked a lot about involving all employees, and one of the greatest wastes in the United States was not using the minds and skills of our employees. So, you know, what he believed and what the principles behind Lean believes is very much in sync. It's just that we don't practice it that way. And I think the biggest thing that I would say is, in at least the companies that I've worked with, and again, that's a number of companies, but it's still sampling, is that there still is a strong disconnect between lean and quality, and I see this in a lot of different organizations where a lot of lean practices, a lot of lean programs are being headed by operations type people, production people. And their focus is still on efficiencies and productivity, and as a result of that, decreasing costs. But they don't see the relationship between what I just said and quality. Quality's still done by another group. It has nothing to do with lean, even though one of the eight wastes is defects. They don't look at it that way. So we have the quality people, and we have the lean folks, and in some companies you have the Six Sigma people, and all these groups don't talk to each other.
Right.
And yet we're all supposed to be trying to do the same thing, which is continuous improvement. So so it's actual lean practice, I think, that falls short of what in many companies, not all, but in many companies where it falls short of what Deming preached to us years ago.
Yeah. Well, and for that reason, I think it's great that you've written and published this book that hopefully it helps put Dr. Deming's ideas a little bit more on the front burner, because there's certainly a big opportunity for organizations that are maybe being exposed to his ideas for the first time, people young in their careers who weren't lucky, like I was, to be exposed to Dr. Deming very early, really even before I'd started my career. And then maybe those who are familiar with Dr. Deming, and that includes a lot of people in healthcare. I mean, when I give talks, I ask people to raise their hand. Hands go up. They know of Dr. Deming, but then there's a big gap in, you know, what their organizations are doing with the Deming principle. So the book is a great introduction, or, you know, a deeper dive for those of us who have read Dr. Deming's works previously. So it's highly recommended. And maybe just as a wrap up, if you can, Mike, remind people of the title of this and your other book on ISO, and some different ways that they could find the book online or interact with you.
Okay. The book, the title of the book is Out of Another Bleeping Crisis. it can be found through ASQ, also Amazon.com. Those are the two main sources right now. I do know that some bookstores are reviewing it, like Barnes & Noble is reviewing it right now. ASQ and Amazon.com. And then the other book is Lean ISO 9001, and basically what I'm trying to show there is how the concepts of Lean, the tools and the philosophies and principles of Lean should be and can be very compatible with the quality management system, and how the two can help complement each other, rather than, like I just said a little while ago, rather than being opposing forces in which you fight for resources and they're run by different departments and so forth. And also, you know, a big part of that book shows how to lean out your quality management system documentation. Every company seems to suffer from over-documentation, and this shows ways that you can reduce that. So my website is mikemick.com. That's mikemick.com. And my email is mike@mikemick.com. And I do a lot of presentations for both of these materials. As you know, I do Dr. Deming as a keynote for many different organizations. And we're talking about doing perhaps a book tour for both of them coming up. So if people need to get a hold of me, yes.
Yeah, well, good. And a tip for people searching on Amazon, if you search for Mike Micklewright or Out of Another Crisis, it comes up. I think if we search for the Bleeping Crisis, I don't know if that comes up, but I want people to find the book. I'm not trying to muddy the waters with the throwing in the bleeping into the title. One last question, or I'd say a friendly jab at you. You produced a batch of two books at the same time, right? I'm just curious, did you write them in parallel, or is it just one after the other? Or was it coincidental they're coming out at the same time?
No, that's funny you asked. Someone else asked me the same question, too. it's a batch, right? No, I did not. Those were written in single-piece flow fashion. they were written in single-piece flow. So Out of the Crisis was first completed, and then Lean ISO 9001 was completed. And then they were also, the later processes, they were edited and printed and so forth in single-piece flow fashion as well. But they were submitted to different publishers as a group, as a batch. And the purpose of that was just to show, hey, there's two books at one time. Let's look at both of them. That might be a stronger selling point. And ASQ liked that and took them both at the same time. So,
well, thinking back to your DVD, I wish I maybe I can paste in a sound effect of the bell when we said batching.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
But great stuff. Really enjoyed Out of Another Crisis, Mike. And I want to thank you for joining us here on the podcast. Great talking to you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Lean Blog Podcast. For lean news and commentary updated daily, visit www.leanblog.org. If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, email Mark at leanpodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, podcast listeners. I'm excited to announce the release of the audiobook version of my new book, The Mistakes That Make Us, Cultivating a Culture of Learning and Innovation. Listen and dive into powerful insights on fostering growth through mistakes. Whether you're a leader, entrepreneur, or just trying to get better at learning from mistakes, this audiobook is for you. Get it now on Audible, Amazon, and Apple Books. Visit mistakesbook.com for more info.